Tonight we want to look at what did Jesus accomplish on the cross. Remember something always, everything about Jesus' life, but the main focus that we need to pay attention to is Jesus' life was given to us by God, He being God incarnate. Jesus comes, in the flesh to let us know that we are also to listen to every word that comes from the mouth of God the Father, for that's what He did. Also, we need to understand and really take to heart that everything Jesus did to glorify His Father, He did for us. Everything. Blessing we have is from God. Every pain, every hurt, every failure, every ditch of life is a gift from God. I'm not saying that God pushes us in it, but I am saying this, that you don't fall in the ditch of life as a Christian without God being there with you. And then we grow. Christians who are stunted in their growth are stunted simply because they just say, I'm tired of getting knocked down. Don't know how many times Jesus fell. I'm sure somebody has counted that on the way to Golgotha. Don't know, it came close to the pain that He went through. You cannot even imagine. But what I do know is this. He got up and He continued to go, and giving us the picture of how much we need each other from the human standpoint, and so therefore another human being was to help Him with that cross. Would God need help? No. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, came to show us and to teach us what it is for a Christian to be in a human body. And His church body, the whole focus, again, is unity, working together, because only Jesus could do it on His own. Do I believe that Jesus Christ could have handled all of that without slipping? Jesus Christ could have done anything He wanted to. He is God. He is God. But every step was for us. It's a picture for us. Having established at first time in one of our studies was that Jesus is 100% God, we accept that. And He was also 100% man, and we accept that. Only God can do that. Only a sovereign God, folks, can give us free will and still know what we're going to do. Only God could give us that. How can we receive free will or choice and yet be able to please God? How does He do that? Only God can do it. That's why none of us know how He does it, but I do believe it. Now, let's look at Jesus' crucifixion tonight. Crucifixion was developed by the Persians around 500 B.C., perfected by the Romans in the days of Jesus. In the history, whether it's Josephus or Philo or any of them, what bothers me sometimes when we have the historical writers, and I accept what they're saying, but folks, I believe personally, from the Word of God, that many things took place that we do not know about. Many things, what was Solomon's statement? There's nothing new under the sun. What is has been before and not now. You start trying to wrap your mind around that. Crucifixion was reserved for the most horrendous criminals. Even the worst Romans were beheaded rather than crucified. Well, that was nice of them, wasn't it? Yeah, it's quicker. The ancient historian Josephus, you can tell I was reading from Mr. Josephus and do not understand a lot of that. Anyway, the ancient historian Josephus called crucifixion the most wretched of deaths. It had to be that brutal. Under the leadership of Adolf Hitler, Nazi soldiers crucified Jews at Dachau. Is that the way Dachau is pronounced? Dachau. You're not gonna get it. That's close to the Hebrew in it. Today, crucifixion of Christians by Islamic terrorists. And we thought it was over. You know, no, what society would do that today? And our society is fussing and arguing about whether by electrocution or you can't put them to death with the shot. Well, you can't put them to death with a shot if they don't get the mixture right. I'll go for that. But with us in the state of Kentucky, through electrocution, if you all will remember that electrocution, it was so horrible because if the electricity, 2,200 volts of electricity, went through too slow, they'd catch on fire. Well, if it went through too fast, they would explode. And it's against the death warrant, because the warrant issued is that you are you, Grover Chisholm, must be put to death with 2,200 volts of electricity passing through your body until you are pronounced dead by the prison physician. So it's got to be by the 2,200 volt, not by catching on fire. So you tell me this one. So they would put them out and do it again, put the fire out and go back. They'd be better off if they just let them explode the way it was going, the way they would do that. So now they're going to the shot, which they are against now because somebody decided not to sell them the drugs. The manufacturers don't make it. So how can Christians celebrate the crucifixion of Jesus as good news? Now you think about that. The most horrendous of all deaths, wretched of deaths, and we call it good news. Now, let's get into the scripture as to why. The good news is found in the answer to the question, what did Jesus accomplish on the cross? Number one, the believer's exclusion from the wrath of God. Only by crucifixion, only by following through with how the prophet said this would take place. See, everything that Jesus did too, as he was coming, it was the complete or the fulfillment of the law. He is the fulfillment of the law. That's why we are not in the law anymore, under the legalism. Jesus fulfilled it. And once the law was fulfilled, then there was no need for the law. For one thing, nobody could keep it anyway. But God knew they couldn't keep it. He knew that you and I could not keep the rules because of our rebellious nature. Why do we have a rebellious nature? Free will, the freedom to choose. And so Jesus comes, and the only way was that he had to die on that cross. The prophet said it was happening. Now, I want you all to picture the conversation going on in heaven. Remember, he said, you will hear the Lord talking about, let us go down. Of course, it is Father God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit in conversation. Well, when you say that to a group of people that are not Christians, that's when they decide to start turning your microphone off anyway, because they say, what's he talking about? You really think they had a conversation before? I know they did, because the Bible lets us know. God's word tells us a conversation was going on. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, and that mount is where Jesus goes up, Peter, James, and John, and you are watching the glorification of Christ. But the scripture says during that period that they Elijah and Moses came down to discuss the upcoming crucifixion with Jesus. So you have that discussion going on, and can't you imagine Peter, James, and John? They're already awestruck, and then they're hearing about talking about Jesus dying on a cross. And it's sort of like also that the Lord sort of ignored their ignorance. He does that with us all the time, Randy. He just ignores our ignorance. Now, praise God. Romans 1:18 through 21, the believer's exclusion from the wrath of God. Folks, only the wrath of God is what you should ever fear, not the chastisement of God. God loves us and he corrects us. You love your child, you correct your child. Some you have to keep beating with the tuba for, but soon they will be corrected. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Frankly, folks, it's an abomination. All of this is the abomination that God looks at. Heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. Not being truthful with who Jesus is total ungodliness. Folks, you talk about big time sin, okay, by their unrighteousness. Because what can be known about God is plain to them. Because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen because they are understood through what has been made. Meaning, hey, wake up, human beings. Do you really think the Big Bang did what we have today that you can see? Do you really think by accident that our body is marvelously put together through what was made? So here's the final statement. So people are without excuse. That is where they say, Larry didn't tell me. Jean didn't. If Miss Jean Shivel had told me that was wrong, or if she had confronted me that there was really a God, God says, I confronted you myself. Again, remember, folks, the people who go on the great under the great white throne judgment of God, it will be their own actions will be the witness against them. And the judge, I told you myself, you know, you're going to have trouble on that. Romans 5, verse 9. Much more then, because we have now been declared righteous, how? By his blood. Got a sermon Sunday coming up with the blood. By his blood, we will be saved through him from God's wrath. Okay. You cannot do anything good. There, you cannot do anything, period, that will save you from the wrath of God. Nothing you can do. Much more because we have now been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from God's wrath. That's why if you don't know Jesus, you're in a mess. If you don't know Jesus, the Lord says, you are condemned already. The one without the body, without the spirit, is dead already. Number two, I'm focusing on what did Jesus accomplish and why is it good news? Jesus' cross moved us from symbolism, which was the animal sacrifice, to realism, which was Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament was working up at that the Lamb of God would be here. There will be the ultimate Lamb of God. He will be the Christ. He will be God incarnate. All the teachings given, and not one of the religious leaders believed it. That's what religion will do to you, folks, especially when it becomes a hierarchy of power to control. Symbolism of it was in the Old Testament, which was the annual Hebrew celebration or the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Leviticus 16:9-10. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell is to be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Thought you might want to know some answers on that, so that's the next page. Symbolism is the story of the goats. Two healthy goats. The high priest acting as the representative between sinful man and a holy God. Remember, to come is going to be the ultimate high priest, Jesus Christ, who would stand between the sinful man and the holy God. He would lay his hand on one goat, confessing the sins of the people. And I guarantee you, folks, there's a lot of forgetting about what sins they had to mention. No, I'm not guilty of that. That'll make you worse. Okay. The slaughter of the goats was the substitute. That was the blood sacrifice. So they kill one of the goats. The release, and that's the blood sacrifice. Again, this is representing the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, to come. The release of the scapegoat into the wilderness was an outward sign. The sins were sent back to the author of sin himself, who was banished from the realm of grace, which was Satan. So it was all representing through all of those thousands of years. It was always symbolism. But at some point, Jesus was to come, and he was going to show us the realism. For the Day of Atonement celebration, it took two animals for the symbolism. At the cross, it only took one Jesus for the realism. And why do people pick up the old when the old points to the new? I'm not talking about don't study the Old Testament. I study it all the time. It's not what I'm saying. I am saying, though, that we go back to the legalism that did not work, could not work. If it could have worked, Jesus would not have had to die. So Jesus comes. He's not symbolism. He's the real one. He is the real Christ, realism. 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And the word propitiation, I thought I'd better break down a little, because I never did break it down right for the professor. But I'm going to break it down to where I understood it anyway. Well, you got to get a little deeper. I don't have to get deeper. I know who Jesus is. Leave me alone. I'll take the B. Propitiation. Christ becoming our substitute, assuming our obligations by taking our guilt, covering it by the vicarious punishment which he endured, reconciling us to God. Now, I understand that. And the way I was listening to them explain propitiation, you go deeper. I don't want to go any deeper. I want to understand it. I don't want to be a professor that's going to teach it and nobody pay any attention to it. But Christ is our substitute. And that is the focus of the cross. That's why we call it the good news. That people, you know, well, we should have stopped. Wish somebody would have stood up in those days. People, how many people are standing up right now for the crucifixion of the Christians throughout the world? No. And the cry that went out from that one group that says, do the Christians in America know what's going on over here? And the answer is yes, we know. But it hadn't hit home yet. Yes, it has now. And you deal with it at the beginning. Is that not how you stop things from happening? Catch it as it is being birthed, as it is coming into existence. For us, it is the sin spotted ahead. For the world, they stop the birth of children and massacre them. To date, over 50 million since it began. And I dare say that nobody knows that number. If that's what they have logged in or, you know, have proof of, oh gosh. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. I passed on to you. This is Paul. Now, you've got to remember, Paul's at Corinth. And you have to remember this. Of all the corruptness, it was the greatest of all was at Corinth. From every type of idol worshiper to sex worshipers to everything was there. So when you see that Paul is getting just a little bit ticked a lot of times, he had to. He either was going to be stern with the truth of God or they would have eaten his lunch. And not only that, he wasn't afraid of them eating his lunch as much as he was God not feeding him if he didn't stand for the truth. I passed on to 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Okay. Where did he hear that? Jesus. Did not Jesus say, I've said nothing that my Father hasn't given me to say? So there's where we come back with people that say, okay, I got a new idea on this Christian stuff. Well, I don't want to hear it. For one thing, Christianity is not an idea. It is a lifestyle, and Christianity is a person, Jesus Christ. So I pass on to you what I've already heard. Why would I want to pass on, if I'm going to serve the Lord, why would I not want to preach what the Lord says? Why would I not want to stand strong? The greatest blessing that I could ever have is to be killed for my faith. Do you want it to do I want it to happen? If it glorify God, it doesn't bother me. But I cannot be foolish enough to cause harm to others because of my stand. But I have no right not to stand for the truth of God, no matter what it does. That's a catch-22, isn't it? Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. So for me to preach is to preach what does the Scripture say? Now, I am given the freedom by God to explain, but by using different terms or phrases to get it across, but I am not given the freedom to change the truth of his word. If you're going to preach to prisoners, folks, you got to deal with a whole different language in doing it to get it across. Do we not teach children a different way than we teach adults? Although I think the adults may learn more if we would go back to the children books. Galatians 6:14, and this is a final scripture. As for me, again, this is Paul, may I never boast. I can't help it. If you study the background of Paul, you know, and listen to him, and it does sound a lot of times like when he's talking to the Pharisees, I'm smarter than any one of you here. Now, you all just sit down over and learn something. But he says in Galatia, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you see that from him, you know that everything he was saying to them, what they would have called boasting, would have been that which is the truth about what Jesus said. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. Catch that, Josh. And the world's interest in me has also died. Do you ever notice that nobody has interest in, I mean, worldly people about Christians? There's no interest in it. Yet, because of the cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. Because this world ain't going to make it, folks. But I do know the one who's going to make sure that it doesn't make it. The very one who said this is what's going to happen. The fulfillment of God's word. That's the Christian walk.